be. I'm going to be really, I think, talking about stewardship, maybe. But how many knows that once we get born again, if we go on, we can grow up in the Lord. If we move forward, and, you know, I remember back after I got saved, the Word would get me every time. I mean, it would just, you know, it wasn't the Word get me. It was my life was so contrary to God's ways and God's way of doing things in everything till it seemed like, and you know, that's what a lot of folks say, where the Word is preached, a lot of them that don't embrace it, they think it's hard. They feel like it's hard and hard to do and rules and regulations. But when we understand that the Word of God is, it sets us free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I actually wished I'd have got born again whenever my brother did, Preston, on the riverbanks at Martis Mills fishing, when that dude come down there, and we're just teenagers, maybe 14, 15 years old. I wished I had been 17, 18, 14, 15 when I got saved, instead of 27. Because I can tell you right now, you know, I used to think that being a Christian back under, before I got born again, was weak. Christians were weak. It was just what I had in my mind, you know. And I just felt like you can't do nothing, man. You can't have no fun, you know, all of that stuff, you know. But little did I know, after I got born again, I gained power. Power in my life. Power in my decisions. Power on the inside. A feel-good that you don't get out of any drug or anything. And then, when I begin to get in the Word of God, yes, the Word of God challenged my lifestyle. It still does. At times, the I'll read the Word or hear preaching, and it still challenges me. And I thank God for it, because I know that I'm His son, and I know that He loves me, and I know that when He corrects me or directs me, that He's doing it for me to grow on up in Him. You know, to become more like Christ, the ways of the Lord and everything, because that's what brings freedom to somebody that's born again. Now, you could be here tonight, and you may not know whether you are born again or not. You more than likely are not born again, because you got to remember the time that you realized that Jesus died on the cross and that you hadn't submitted your life to Him and what He did for you. See, what becoming a Christian is, we exchange our life for His life, what he did on that cross. He shed His blood and died, because we're all born sinners, you know. And I even explained it to Travis, because he don't remember life without going to church, other than when me and Teresa got away from the Lord just a little bit. So I explained it at times to him, you know, about what Jesus did, where he wouldn't live His life, you know, just going to church and going through the motions and not ever get born again. He had to be born again. So I told him one time, I said, Daddy's anointing, you're going to have your own anointing. You're going to have your own relationship. So if you're here and you're not sure that you're born again, you've been saved, you know, just because Jesus died for me and you, we have to accept that life. We have to surrender to that life. If we don't surrender to that life, then we're not born again. We're not born of the Spirit of God. And if we're not born of the Spirit of God, the things of God cannot manifest. The Word can't be made real to you by the Holy Spirit. The power of God, you'll only see it and hear it that others are experiencing. So if you're not born again, tonight would be a great night for you to say, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that I'm not born again. Yes, I've been to church. I've heard about Jesus. Mom and Dad went. But I need you to be my personal Savior. If you're listening by way of a Facebook Live or all over the world, you know, if you've never surrendered, see, some people has this thinking that everybody is a child of God. And everybody's not a child of God. Everybody, you know, because he is the creator of mankind. But the problem with that is He gave every one of us a free choice. He don't make us serve Him. He don't make us come to Him. He's not a dictator. Satan, he's a dictator. He wants you on drugs. He wants you fighting. He wants you angry. He wants you jealous. He wants you fearful. He wants you, all of these things, he wants you to have to be in a clique to fit in. And without the Lord, more than likely, because we're trying to find out who we are, we're just identifying with the wrong things. See, once I got born again, and I realized my pastor, you'll get to see him Sunday. He's going to preach for us. We're going to be gone for a few days. I'm not going to think about y'all much. I'm going to have fun. I think about y'all all the time, and y'all can handle it. Y'all can handle it, praise God. And I'm going up, and I'm going to relax a few days, praise the Lord. But, you know, he was sitting there, and he said, he made this statement. He said, because I'm wondering, at that time, you know, I started hearing people say, find out who you are in the Lord. Find out who you are and what you've been given and all that. And I'm wondering, I'm saying, Lord, who am I? Who am I? Who really am I? Where do I fit in this earth, you know? Because I felt like before I got born again, if he's such a good God, like all these people are saying, why am I going through hell here on earth? Why am I going through all this if he's a good, loving God? But see, what I didn't realize then is that I had God shut out of my life. I had him shut out. I wouldn't invite him in. I wouldn't let him in to my life. So I'm sitting there in service, and I'm wondering, well, I wonder who I really am. You know, I didn't know that I'm a king. I didn't know none of the Bible at that time, you know, to amount to nothing. But my pastor made this statement. He's preaching. That's why it's good to go to church. That's why he's preaching, you know, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden he said, see, once you are born again, you're identifying with who you really are. Like that, and it hit me. I thought, I already did. I've given my heart to Jesus. He said, now, he said, you're a son of God. He said, and you got to have faith in that seed in you. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, glory to God, no wonder I never was fulfilled in life. That's why I feel fulfilled now, Lord, because I've identified with who I really am. Now I'm being transformed into who I really am. See, so if you're here and you're not born again, it's not a shame to be lost. But it is a shame for you to stay lost. Don't stay lost. We're living in perilous times. We're living in troublesome times. We're living in a time where the eastern skies could bust wide open. I mean, we're living in a time where the trumpet could sound and the angels could come down and gather us out of here. We're living in those times when I can't see anything in the Bible that has to be fulfilled other than maybe somebody's not heard the gospel. He said, the gospel will be preached in all the earth. Then shall he return. That's the only thing that I can see biblically, praise God, that might be holding back the coming of Jesus. But I'm not ready. I'm enjoying myself. The more I get into the Lord and yielding things to the Lord, the better life is to me. I mean, even in hard times and fuel high and all of that stuff, you know, giving and yielding, that's called growing. That's called walking in that growth if you have attained. Don't lose what growth you have attained. The Bible says in 1 Peter, give me that scripture, Zach. How many knows it's vital to our lives now and our future that we grow and develop? That we grow and develop. I was thinking about how the Lord went down to the disciples. And they were on their jobs. They were making their living. Same way he comes to us. He don't tell us to quit and, you know, and follow him in that manner because he ain't here. But he tells us to put him first. He tells us to put the kingdom first. Put the things of God first. That's what he does. That's what he did to them. He went down and he told them, lay down your nets and follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. In other words, what he did, went to them and he says, listen, he said, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. He didn't say it in these words, but where I can empower you to live a life that you can't even fathom in your mind. And I've experienced some of that. Supernatural things in my life all the time happen. You know, I mean, just notable things to me that this is God and that's God. Well, let me give you a little example. See, we want him to be a relevant in our lives now. Not just when we're in trouble, you know, not just when we, you know, need money or whatever, or somebody's upset. He wants to be our God all the time. I believe God for those cattle I've got over there. I've got 20-something now. You know, started out 10. I got 20-something. Another one popped a baby yesterday. Anyhow, this one cow last year, she had a baby, and it was stillborn. It was born dead, as far as I can tell. I went there the next morning. The baby was dead, you know. And so I thought, man, that died, you know. And so it wasn't just a couple of days after that, you know. I mean, as the Bible says in Proverbs 3, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct you. Well, you have to do that. That's part of growing up. It says, as newborn babes, desire the word, sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I didn't know I needed to grow to be a Christian. In the church I was going to before I went to Faith Restoration. I didn't know. I didn't know that salvation was the beginning of something in my life, of a walk with the Lord. I didn't know. You know. But anyways, I'm around this farmer one, I don't remember exactly which one it was, but I was telling about the cow. I said, well, the cow, you know, she had a baby, she's young, she had a baby and it was dead. First thing all them farmers did. But now I know they don't serve the Lord, they don't go to church, you know, and all that. And then I know what the scripture says. It says, sit not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means people without God don't have counsel for you. I don't care how much you like them. They're lost without God, without hope. They don't have counsel for Christians. They don't have it. Well, anyways, they said, I'd sell her. Get rid of her. She's not going to be no good. If one dies like that, the next one, they'll just have dead babies. That's just the way it's going to be. But, you know, I contemplated that in my mind. And I thought, well, I do got that trailer, and I probably could get $700, $800, maybe $1,000 out of her, you know. And I'm not taking a chance, because if you wait a year, that's a year. Takes 9 months. And so I didn't feel it on the inside. I thought, nah, I'm not going to get rid of her. But God, I'll just give her a good home the rest of her life if she does have dead babies. It's my cow and I like her. You know, and I ain't going to get rid of her. Well, anyhow, you know what? She had me a little girl this year. Pretty little white girl. And what if I'd have listened? What if I'd have listened to their wisdom, their experience? See, our experience, that's what I'm talking about. That's when you're growing in the Lord. You're learning to acknowledge him. You're learning to hear from him. You're saying, God, what is your will? I was reading the scripture in there where Jesus told him, he said, I come not to do my own will, but I came to do the will of him that sent me. And I thought, well, I wonder what God's will is for me. Well, he wants me to have a good marriage. He wants me to prosper. He wants me to have strong relationships with people, good ones. He wants me to be a light out there in the world. Hallelujah. That's God's will. He wants me to minister the gospel. You may not be called to minister the gospel, and that's fine. But, you know, he wants us to steward over the word of God. Did you know the Bible says if we be faithful in the small things, the hoopers over much? You know, the first thing that... Really, one of the first things that God began to deal with in my life is love your enemies. Because I'd never heard of somebody that gets born again and God begins to deal with them that way on loving your enemies. You know why he did? Because I had hatred toward people. See, God knows where you're at. He knows what it's going to take. God wanted me to have victory. He wanted me to experience freedom. So I shut that Bible and I said, I don't like that. I don't like that. There's still things I don't like in the Bible. My flesh. There's still things I don't like. Do unto others. You know, you want to punch them before they get a chance to do you, right? You know? But see, the way of the word is freedom. So I just embraced it. I said, okay, Lord, with your help, I'm going to love my enemies, Lord. Help me. And then I started telling the Lord, Lord, help me to love them that I don't love, God. Help me. I can't do it on my own, Lord. I can't. I hate them. But your word says, Lord, see, that's what he's talking about. I wanted that word. I wanted to do that word because I knew that was God's will. So what I was doing, I was a newborn babe, and I was desiring the real power of the word. And I started to grow by it. Well, you know, today, I don't have anybody that I hate. I mean, there's not one person on this planet. I'm not saying that by faith. I walked that thing out for several years and quoted that scripture, and it caused me to become more mature. Well, there was opportunities arose to challenge that word over periods while I was walking with the Lord. I'm not telling you my story. See, whatever you got, see, jealousy. Teresa said something the other day I didn't like. She know it. She's just now finding it out. Now, she does it often. She said something I didn't like. And my first thought was, I've been 38 years and I'm about done with this. I've been on a long journey with this woman. She's a good woman. She give you the shirt off her back, I'm telling you right now. I mean, she'll help you. She loves the Lord, and she loves people. She's just not a people person. You know, I'm shocked she's going off for 30 on vacation. But anyhow, you know, I mean, I'm sitting there, and I started to say, why don't you just keep your mouth shut? And I thought, I'm a man. Babies do that. Baby Christians do that, but I'm not one. That's not because I'm a preacher. No, I'm not a preacher in my living room. I'm Scotty. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I operate in my anointing when I get here. That's when that most time operates. That this gift. This gift right here is not it's not really for me. It helps me and feeds me and keeps me somewhat. But my walk with the Lord is what empowers me. Besides that. Well, I didn't. You know, I thought not gonna say nothing. I thought, because you know what, devil? If you will use Teresa, or you will use my mama, or you will use anybody that will yield to you or say something, and you will suggest to me something, anybody that I will yield to can get me. I used to feel intimidated, people standing around on the jobs watching us, you know, when you're doing your job. And so I overcame that in Jesus. I'm not just telling you my story. See, your life is supposed to be developing and growing all the time. Something all the time, you know. You have a tendency to get upset, be jealous, mad at guys, somebody, road rage, anything like that. This Christian walk, Jesus said, let your light so shine that men will see your, anybody know? Good works. See your good works. See your good works. See you not get upset. See you not break the coffee table anymore. See me not go try to blow everything I got up because I'm mad. I mean, as a Christian, I'd get mad and I'd get in my vehicle and I'd stomp it to the floor and hold it in first gear till it cuts off. Then I'd hit second till it cuts off. You know what? You can't get me to do it no more. Why? The Bible says when I was a child, I acted like one. I spoke like one. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away those things that children. You can go to the nursery and get into some of the stuff that I just said. They hitting each other with everything, and you know, and then a few minutes they're over and they're back at it again, and then they'll clunk one in the head again, just a few minutes. And then they're not mad at one another. No, they're babies. Well, see, we can't be baby Christians. If you've been born again over 2 weeks, you got to get you're starting to grow a mustache spiritually. Come on, somebody. If you're 15 years and you still acting like a baby, Praise God, you're not growing. You're not diving in the Lord. You're not yielding to the Holy Spirit when He's dealing with you about things in your personal life. You cannot yield to the Holy Spirit without you go up. Because you're going down, and you're going up. You're crucified with Christ, the Bible says. I'm crucified with Christ, the Bible says. You know, God talks about stewards in the Bible. Three of them. He give talents. He give 1 10, 1 5, and 1 1. And he expects them to use those talents. The Lord spoke to me. I've got it in the scripture. I don't know if we go there or not. But the Lord spoke to him. He said, I'll give you talents, son. He said, I'll give my body an anointing. He said, you've got to steward that anointing. Be a steward over that. Good steward over the anointing. Good steward. That's why you'll see me through thick and thin. I'm here. I don't care. I just get out of the hall. All of that ain't because I'm strong and I'm, you know, in myself and all of that. That's because I'm dedicated to the one that empowers. So therefore, when you go after that one, that's what Paul was talking about. I'm going after that I have been apprehended of. If you've been born again, you've experienced the Holy Spirit. But if you ain't, you've experienced going to church and religion. That's all you've experienced. Peter's a perfect example of that. Peter followed Jesus from afar, the Bible says. He wasn't born again yet. He was with him. He said, no, I'll go to the cross. I'm going. And he told him, he said, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. He said, you're going to deny me 3. I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll never. But when the pressure was on and the heat was on, he wasn't born again. He wasn't empowered. And so when the pressure was on, he knew he was going to be in trouble. Hallelujah. See, when the pressure's on me and you, we can act like Peter, although we're born again. Or we can follow him close. Hallelujah. We can say, I'm going in the fire, Lord. I don't care. I'm going to overcome this anger. I'm going to overcome this. You know, I used to be bad about blowing money, just blowing it. I'm working on my granddaughter right now about tithing. She just cannot see giving Jesus $1 out of 10. She can't see Jesus. That's understandable. But you know what? Don't matter what she thinks to me. That Bible says honor the Lord with our substance and the first fruits of all of our increase. It still says it, so I'm going to get that in her at 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I'm going to get it in her. That's going to be a place where the Holy Spirit, because I know that will bear fruit in her life. And when she honors God, then her barns will be filled with plenty. Her vats will burst out with new wine, representing the anointing. See, I wasn't a good steward at one time over tithing. I felt like the church is going to get $1 a week. They're lucky to get that. I worked for this money. So I'd put $1 in there, and Tracy said, just don't put nothing in there. It's embarrassing. And I'd tell her, they lucky to get $1. Look, God, they got money. What do they want my money for? They didn't want my money. They're giving opportunity for me to be a doer of the word. That's all they're doing. They're giving me opportunity to be a doer of the word of God. See, I didn't know that doing that word would get me today. I don't want nothing much. I thought about buying Johnny a Harley and paying cash, but the Lord ain't told me to. Sorry, man. Talk to him. Yeah. But my desire is to buy him a Harley. But that's me. I mean, you know, don't be weary in well-doing, the Bible says, for in due season you'll reap it, you faint not. But the Bible says those that are led by the Spirit, not by what I think, not by what I feel, not by my love for Johnny or you or anybody. I mean, I go around all the time, and I know people need cars, and I'm looking on Marketplace, and I'm like, can I get that one for that one, Lord? Can I buy that one? And the Lord don't never talk to me, and when he don't talk to me, that means no. Johnny can get his own car, Harley. He'll provide. But what I'm saying, all I'm saying is, I was 27 years old down there, and God bringing that, where he brought that word to me in the first week about tithing, of me being born again within 1 or 2 weeks, a preacher on the radio. I thought, there's another one of them suckers right there, trying to suck money, even if I'm out here working, it's hot. But you know what? He gave the scripture in the Bible, Malachi 3. And so I took the pen out that I take directions, and I said, Lord, if that's in the Bible, I didn't even know if it's in the Bible or not. I said, if that's in the Bible, God, I'm going to do it. See, what God was doing, he was saying, I can't do what I want to do in your life because you are not a good money. You won't prosper the way God wants you to prosper if you don't steward over your money. Every one of us born again, we need to work towards having at least three, enough to pay our major bills 3 months if something happened. Did you hear me? When I first heard that, I thought, that rich preacher, was he stupid? No way I can get 3 months up, man. 3 months? My bills is $500 a month. That's $1,500. But you know what? Me and Teresa, we worked on it. We worked, we started saving a little bit. How many knows God anoints you to save? That's stewardship. That's being a good steward. And then when you begin to do that, he adds an anointing on your effort of being a good steward. See, he gave you the steward, which is Jesus, on the inside of you to conquer this life, to conquer finances, to conquer fear, to conquer in how the Bible says he gives us all things richly to enjoy. He wants us to steward over the Word of God. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I know the Word of God says that, but people need to know. I said, wait a minute. You need to get the butt out. You know the Word of God says that. Let's don't butt. I said, that's what goats do, butt. They're goats. We're sheep. Sheep follow. Goats rebel. Me and Travis went on a job the other day, and I thought the goat, he thought the goat was fixing to attack me. It's running around there like it's a dog. And it comes over to me, and they will. And the goats will just bear down and get you, boy, if you ain't careful, you know. But it happened to be a little girl. And so I don't think she was too enthused on, she wanted petting, that's what she wanted, you know. But, you know, we can be rebellious towards the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're not born again, you know, you hear a sermon like this, and you don't, that's him wooing you. That's him drawing you. That's God giving you an invitation to come to know him. When you hear something on stewardship, on finances, my sister told me one time, she said, well, I can't tithe because my husband won't let me tithe. I said, you're not supposed to tithe for your husband. I said, whatever money you get, you do it. The Bible says, let your light shine, not let your mouth speak. Teresa knows how, she don't have a public job, but she knows how to believe God and get things from God that I don't even give her. And people say, well, it's because you own your own business. You don't know what you're talking about. Me and her have spent most of our Christian life, we have tried and still doing it and still will do it today. We have orchestrated our life around the kingdom. Where we live, where we go to church, where we go on vacation. We ask God if we can go on vacation. We don't just get to take a blue strip and get out of here. We got responsibility now. We're responsible for this kingdom. We're responsible. And when I hold people accountable, you know, for being in ministry and they don't want to be faithful, I'm going to stand before Jesus one day. He's going to say, I gave you that talent and I wanted you to steward over it. I wanted you to make sure that it's done like I want it. I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to give an account of my faithfulness or unfaithfulness or doubt and unbelief concerning the ministry. That's why I do a lot of repenting. Lord, I'm sorry. I could be more faithful, Lord. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I could do some more fasting. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I, you know, maybe I could do some more stuff, Lord. There's one thing I can't do. I can fill my cow's poo up, and I can drive them down to it. But if they don't want to drink it or get in it, I can't do anything about it. The Bible says that he sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, I thought, well, you know, I mean, we could prosper more if Teresa straightened her attitude up and, you know, and this and that and this and that. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, your problem is not Teresa. He said, your problem is you. He said, I am a personal Jesus, and I can work personally for you without anybody. So that took away those excuses I had of not honoring God, not being faithful to God, and even through all the hardship and all of that. But you know what that was bringing me to? That was bringing me to a place of freedom every time I would make a choice. Teresa backslid one time. Look, if your mate backslides, they backslide your wife or your husband, just let them walk on. Just go on. The Bible says that the transgressor's way is hard. I didn't write that Bible. And I know I've transgressed after I walked with the Lord, and my walk got hard. It got harder and harder and harder, and it wasn't God doing it. It wasn't God punishing me. I've walked away from him and come out from under that anointing, and then I started making wrong choices, have wrong thinking. I don't have on the mind of Christ anymore. I don't have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength, anymore. I don't have confidence in the Lord anymore. So it seemed hard. So when I fell on my knees, I mean, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord Jesus. I've let Teresa, I ain't going to church, blah, blah, don't mention your God, don't, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, Jesus, I've let her backslide. But you know what I did? I didn't whine. I didn't go around telling mom and them. I didn't go around telling all them and them and everybody else at church. I went and started fasting. I went and started praying. I went and yielded her to the Lord. And I told the Lord, Lord, you delivered us one time, God. And Lord, I know you can deliver us again. But you know what I did? I went to church by myself for a little while. By myself. I went for 3 months and didn't feel God. People tell me, I just don't feel like I used to. I understand, but my mind was made up. That road, that hard road without God, I feel good even though I don't feel God on this road. And I'm going to continue walking on this road. And as time went on, the feelings and emotions and all of that came back. But he gave one five, one ten, five, and one. The one with 10 went and put that money to work. Went and put it to work. The one with 5 put it to work. He put that to work. The one with 1 talent, he went and he dug a hole and put it in the ground. And it's a parable. But what he's saying is the one to give 5, he says he gives every man according to their ability. So if you've got money, that's ability. He give you ability to make money. And he wants you to steward over that money. And if you follow him with your decisions and honoring God and yielding to him and doing what you feel is the will of God, he will lead you into where everything will bless you. Everything will be a blessing to you. If I preached it once and the Lord told me over there in Deuteronomy 28, boy, when I went after the blessing of the Lord, I thought, this is the life I want right here. Blessed going in. Blessed going, Lord. I want to live, Lord. I want to be able to have stuff, nice stuff, Lord. See, when I was a kid, I pushed a mini bike 4 miles without a motor on it, but God, to go to the strip pit so I could ride. 4 miles. It was 4 miles to that strip pit. Then I pushed it all the way up in the strip pit, hot like it is now, us kids, because we wanted to ride a mini bike, and we would push it up the hills and get on top of the hill just to ride down to the bottom. So when I got one with a motor, whoo, yeah, baby, yeah, I'll be at the strip pits in 4 minutes. But you know what? He went, and then he come back. He said, it's like a man, he said, that goes into a far country. How many knows that's like what Jesus did? He ascended up on high and gave gifts to men. And he give us in Ephesians over there the fivefold ministry for the edifying, for the equipping, for the building up of the body of Christ till we all grow up. We're supposed to be growing in faith. We're supposed to be growing in love, developing love. Don't be jealous. I try to teach young kids all the time. You know, don't be jealous of one another. Don't be jealous of your girlfriend and your boyfriend and other little guys or gals that hits on them, you know. You just give them to the Lord, and you just trust the Lord, and you just guard your heart, the Bible says. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, I said, if Teresa's not happy, see, I got born again. And then I cared about what she cared about. I didn't know how to. I'd never been taught it. But the Holy Spirit, he's a good, he's a good teacher. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if she don't want to be with me, I would rather her have somebody else and be happy. See, what that was doing was setting me free from the fear, from all of that. It was setting me free. I didn't realize that was setting me free. See, that was love talking, and then I yielded to the love in my heart, and then I give her freedom, and it set her free. It set her free, too. Because if you're jealous of somebody, all you're going to do is accuse them all the time. All you're going to do is accuse them. And then you're going to see, you're going to think they're looking at somebody. You're going to think they're on Facebook, you know, talking, messaging somebody. You know, Satan's going to give you thoughts, lies. He's a liar. But the Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. But you know, you can have knowledge, but you got to do something with it. The Bible says get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. The wisdom of God is the Word of God. Knowledge comes from the Word of God. See, I found out that the Lord told me, he said, give her to me. I'm telling you, I don't care if it's your car. I don't care if it's, you know, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband. I don't care if it's your bills, anything. He said, give it to me. How many knows that's scriptural? Because it says casting all your care over on the Lord because he cares for you. See, when you cast it over on the Lord and tell the Lord, help me to be a good steward. See, I mean, if I don't care. You think you can't save money, but you can. You can save $5 a week. God's anointing will be on $5 a week. Put it in there and don't touch it. Put $5 a week. Believe God to help you to increase. And then believe God for that increase to help you. And then before you know it, start sticking $10 a week. That might sound like nothing. But with God in it and obedience to God, he's liable to get you up to $50 and say, I want you to sow that. Sow that $50. And you go sow that $50 and somebody comes up and says, God told me to give you $5,000. You're going to be like, God, can I save 50 more? I'm telling you, that is a very highly possible thing that I just said. He will absolutely, he'll give you wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. And just like this, I got tired of filling with them cows because it was getting out. See, in your trial, don't get frustrated when trials come. So I thought, I'm selling them. I'm done with y'all, girls. So I called the guy up. I said, come look at these cows. See what you give me. Gets over there, and I done made my mind up. I'm not coming less than $15,000 on them. You know, they're worth more than that. He could make $2,000 or $3,000 off a cow. But I'm going to sell them for that. So he come down there, and he said, well, I was thinking about giving you 10. I said, no, you ain't. How much? I said, $15,000. He went on here. He called me. I'll give you $13,000. I said, no, man, I'm not going to take $13,000. I said, all them cows are pregnant. Then I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, oh, man, thank you, Lord, he didn't give me $15,000. You know, because I'm like, they're all pregnant. So I mean, I've dropped 8, 9, 10, 11, 11 calves. I've dropped 11 calves. Every one of them lived. Got two more, fixing to drop two more. That's 14. If I sell them for $6 a piece, you figure it. I mean, $600 a piece. They'll bring $700 or $800. They're bringing $700 or $800. So you figure 14 times 700. That's a good bit of money. That's a little chunk. See, just because I didn't want to deal with it. And Colin and Jeffries even went and got them up. I got everybody on Page Springs Road. They get my cows up for me, man. I'm like, Mexican called me. What the hell? You got a cow out over there with us. Over here, no doubt. And then he called me back. Yeah, man, I just went and got him up for you. I don't even know who he was. I said, thank you, man. Appreciate it. I said, that's a favor, Lord. Got them all, putting them up over there. Johnny boy, he goes to Georgie. Yeah, Georgie and Jeffrey went and got them up, run them in there. They run the bull. He done like that to me one time. Y'all was running that bull. He just didn't think. Y'all got an anointing. I jumped in my truck and was going to run him through that fence. Don't you bow up at me, Jack. I'll put you in the freezer. I'll run over you first and cripple you. Then I'll get out and kill you. Praise God. But you know what? I would have got robbed. I would have got robbed because God said, hang on to him. Hang on to him. Well, my barn blows over, blows up, can't get it finished. Can't go over there and cut. I'm too busy to finish my barn. I can't put the hay. I got to get 50 more rolls of hay. See what I'm saying? God, if I just had more money, I could save $5 a week. No, you wouldn't. No, sir. See, you do what you feel is the leading of the Holy Spirit when it ain't convenient, when it don't look good. Now my cows are worth about $18,000 right now. Praise God. They doubled nearly. I told them one day, I said, my house will be paid off because of y'all. Y'all don't stop this over here. Man, you know, I've been holding out about paying my house. Maybe this is why. Because y'all are going to benefit. What y'all meant for evil, God's going to turn around and bless me. You know, I do talk to the girls like that sometimes. You know, y'all better straighten up over here. God blessed y'all to be in my presence, homie. I give y'all feed once a week. I make sure you never get hungry. You got water. I dig puns. You know, I got shade for you, you know, and everything. And built a good pasture, and y'all want that desert out there. That's the way a lot of Christians are. God blesses them, but they'd rather have the desert. They'd rather break out into a weed patch when they've got good green grass. They'd rather be over there in a briar patch. Come back with you know, cut all up. I told them, I said, well, y'all were dumb. You don't get cut up when you're in the pasture. You stay in there with a fold. Now I'm talking about y'all Christians out there in Facebook land here and everywhere else. But God, it gets hard out there without the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Because I read in there one day, and I was reading Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's house. He said, where there's a work going on. And then he goes on, and he said, I went down, and the clay in the vessel was broken up in pieces, and God began to put it back together and mold it. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, I want you to take this to the body of Christ. And I want you to tell them wherever you go that the house of God is where your broken life gets put back together. And then you become a vessel useful for the master. Why do you think the enemy don't? Why do you think this church has been under attack for 21 years? I think somebody told me, I think that the devil's attacking the church. I said, you just now figuring that out? Man, this church was being attacked 21 years ago when I was starting it. But what the shame is, I told them, I said, what the shame is, I said, Satan's going to attack the church. I said, but the shame, that what shameful is that people has been there 2, 5, 14, 30 years in there and they start yielding to him. They're supposed to be grown up. They're supposed to have him under their feet. Supposed to be developed in the things of God. I'm not perfect, and I don't say I am. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there, but I ain't gonna stop going. But you know, Jesus come back. The parable, he come back. Told him, he said, he called an account. He wanted an account of what they did with the talents. The 10 went and made 10 more. He said. Thou good and faithful servant. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. He said, I'm going to make you ruler over much. The one with five, he came. And he made five more. In other words, he took the anointing, he took whatever God put in his life, he began to put it into action, And he told him, he said, thou faithful servant. He said, you've been faithful over a few. I'll make you real. He told them, it don't matter how big the talent is. It don't matter what he's asking you to do, whether it's big or little or whatever somebody else. When he first started out, he said to every man, according to his ability, I give them talents. So it really don't make no difference, you know, what it is. Whatever you feel like is the will of God for you to do, your marriage, finances, church, ministry, then you steward over that. You count that as highly, important to you. The Lord spoke to me today. He said, you know why you won't let down on the church? And I said, well, Lord, it's you. I know. I'd have done quit a long time ago, he said. He said, because you took the little thing. You took the $300 and you said, God, I'm going to start that church you told me to start. He said, they told you it would never happen. And you told them, you didn't ask them whether it happened or not. He said, that was taking the little thing that I give you then. And you begin to work towards that church with $300. He said, that's all you had. He said, I put my anointing on that effort. See, you don't need a bunch. You need effort. And God puts his anointing on effort. Well, got down to the guy with the one talent. And he called an account. He said, Lord, I knew that you was a hard man. That's a lie. He gave you the talent. Now you figure he's a hard man. Come up with a talent button and multiply. Do this Jesus thing on your own. And you're going to give me an account later on. That would have been hard. That would be hard. He don't ask us to do this on our own. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the grace of God. We have the anointing of God. We have the counsel of God. We have the word of God. We have the gifts of God. We have the gifts of ministry working in our lives. Hallelujah. And so he tells him, he says, thou wicked servant. Called him a wicked servant. He said, you'll be cast into outer darkness. In other words, if he'd have took the one talent and just did what the other ones did, used that talent, he knew what to do with it. It wasn't that he was ignorant. God won't leave none of us ignorant. I mean, if we don't understand what's going on and what he wants, you won't be held accountable. But he will as we, and you know, his yoke, Jesus said, take my yoke on you. Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your weary soul. Did you know worrying's a sin? And it's not yoked to Jesus? See, I was worrying about not getting to keep Teresa until I give her to Jesus. And now 36 years later, I've still got what I was believing for. Hallelujah. And the only way that wouldn't happen is if I wanted to quit and run. That'd be it. Long as I fight, she's mine. She just don't know she's mine, but she is mine. I own her. She just don't know I own her. I got her from the Lord. He said, delight yourself in me, I'll give you. He give her to me. She's fortunate. She told me Father's Day, she said, well, Since you say you raised me, happy Father's Day, I guess. She put it on Facebook. One of them said, y'all raised each other. Yeah, and when I don't like something she does, you know what she says?
Well, if she didn't like it the way it is, you should have raised me different.
Blaming that one on me too, man. Y'all got to watch your women. You wanted something different? Raise me different, praise God. So listen, God's wanting you to steward over the word of God in your heart and in your mind. Go after the Lord. Fast and pray. Seek the Lord. I mean, I've had Christians tell me, I just starved to death. I can't. You ain't never starved to death. You ain't even never been hungry in 45 years. Look at you. Get in the mirror and look. You've not been hungry in 40 years. God's been good to us, hallelujah. Now, I'm being funny with that, but I mean, you're not going to starve to death. I fast now, and I feel guilty when I don't. I've done it so many years, I'm like, this is part of my service and worship to you, Lord, is fasting. And I don't fast to get God to move. God's already moving. I fast that I'll line up and hear him and, you know, and be yielded to his will, praise God. Because I'm going to tell you something. This year is going to be, things are happening. The shift took place a couple of months ago. Now, Satan's been attacking, you know, and praise God, he's always attacking. If he ain't attacking, we're out of here. That's the only way he's not going to attack, is if we're out of here. He's going to attack. But the thing about it is, victory's already ours. And everything we yield to that God wants us to yield to, yield his way. Yield his way when you get anger. Work on that anger problem. You kill it. You work on it till it's gone. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is a requirement from the Lord. I got to be faithful to him. Faithful to the ministry. Faithful to my wife. Faithful to y'all guys. You know, the Lord told me one time, he said, swear to your own hurt and change not through the Bible. And I said, Lord, what does that really mean? So he said, well, study it. I mean, if you don't know what something means in the Bible, you know, study it. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. Well, you know what it meant? It meant even if it cost me to do the right thing, it's to do the right thing. And I taught Travis that all his life. Even if it cost you, son, to do right, let it cost you, because God sees it, and God will reward you openly. And those things that we do in secret, God will reward us openly. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.